Welcome to the podcast They Call Comes Naturally, and as always, this podcast is completely free, so if you want to show any type of support whatsoever, we ask you to do a couple things. First, like and share the Facebook page, then head on over to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is...
At Comes Natural Pod.
Yes, it is, and then after you do that, go over to iTunes, hit subscribe so you get the podcast automatically when it becomes available every Friday morning, and then after you do that... Please rate and review the podcast. That just helps get more people funneled to the podcast. So strangers listen. We need strangers to listen. And then those strangers tell more strangers.
So you talk said this to strangers.
Before. Talk to just... all the strangers. And tell them. I had somebody ask me, they go, is your guys' podcast name Comes Naturally or is it called Comes Naturally Podcast? And I go, it's called, I was like, I think it's just called Comes Naturally.
It is.
It okay. is.
Because it's not Comes Naturally Podcast, the podcast.
Yeah.
It's Comes Naturally Podcast.
Yeah. But all of our stuff like says Comes Naturally, which I understand, but it just threw me off. I didn't think anybody would ever ask me that question. And I was like, yes. If you type in Comes Naturally in iTunes, we're the only thing that's going to pop up, other than some weird bird podcast that seems to be there, too. I don't know why that thing's there still. But
the guy sits on his back porch and the birds come naturally.
I guess. Anyway. That's a good intro. You want to...
Comes Naturally, we are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome back. Mike's dancing.
And
doing,
I'm done.
Doing the air hump.
Now I'm out of breath.
He's impregnated the air. Air babies everywhere.
So gross.
Joe's shaking his head like, what the fuck?
All I can think of is the dance from last episode where Mike was literally jerking off the air.
Yeah.
No, I was performing a scientific experiment to see how efficient you could be while jerking off. Multiple
one
people.
Of my managers, George, he found out we had a podcast. Like, I had a podcast. He's like, oh, I'll check it out. So he clicks on last week's episode, and he's like, jerking off invisible dicks, huh? I was like, did you listen to it at work? He's like, no, luckily I was in my car by myself. I was like,
did yes. you ask him if he laughed at that point?
He did laugh, yeah.
Okay, so that's all what we're matters, going for.
Damn it.
But I was like, yeah, start wherever you want. It's fine. They all got random shit in them. You know, it's cool, bro. What was your Snapple fact, Joe?
Cranberries are sorted by ripeness for ripeness by bouncing them.
Oh, like Snapple?
I'm guessing the ones that aren't very ripe.
Just go.
Ugh.
Ones or maybe they're too ripe.
If they're too ripe, they just go.
They're mushing the mushiness.
They're like, well, we missed that one by a chance. Plus, if you pick that up, if you pick one up and like it starts to give a little bit, you probably should be like.
Exactly.
A little too ripe.
Yeah. You ever eaten a cranberry?
Yeah.
Hmm?
I don't think I've ever eaten a cranberry.
No, you've never had them. It's typically what, Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean like.
Oh, an actual cranberry. Like, cranberry. Yeah,
like you don't really fresh. Eat, like you eat them. They're like no. too. Like that, the outside part you don't want to eat.
Can you like cut them up and eat them? Can you eat the inside?
Yeah.
I think I've had them fresh cooked once, like the fresh cranberry sauce once, but I prefer the can.
My family,
the gel?
Way yeah, back in the day, used to do the, for Christmas time, used to do the popcorn and cranberries.
Oh, yeah.
On the Christmas tree. Like actual popcorn and cranberries.
Did you eat the popcorn off the tree?
Yeah.
They made real, like, fresh
like,
popcorn.
Real maybe. Fresh popcorn.
Didn't, like, have, like, they didn't no. put it up and, like, 3 weeks later go, let's eat the popcorn.
No,
did it,
yeah,
did
no.
Did it taste like tree?
No.
It's not that
did you get enough. In trouble for eating it off the tree? Were you allowed to?
I don't think he ate it off the tree. Like, he didn't walk up.
Well, in my movie theater, I picture Joe as a little kid, only 7'8", walking up to a tree and just...
Leaning down and eating it off
Leaning down and picking popcorn off of it like a giant...
As you're getting older, you're shrinking.
I know, apparently.
Are you Benjamin Button?
Apparently I am.
But only in size.
That explains the gray beard.
It's true.
Yeah. Anyway. yeah, that's weird. Real trees or fake trees growing up?
Real trees. Had to have real trees. Up until this last year, we did real trees.
There's a drought going on.
Trees are expensive for only having for like... Three weeks? We always did like a week and a half to 2 weeks before Christmas. That way it stayed the fresh.
Is like the only... like yeah. the longest you could do it, right?
Yeah.
That's you, Cody. Real or fake?
We always had real.
We had real and then mixed into a fake one that talked.
Like actually had a mouth or yeah. just like...
Like you'd,
it like was the singing bass type thing?
Yeah, kind of. It would open up and it had eyes and a mouth.
Burn that motherfucker.
And it would sing Burn Christmas it. Songs, nope. but it had a microphone attachment. So
you could sing through it?
Yeah, you could talk through it and the mouth would move to the...
Oh, God.
No, yeah. burning that motherfucker.
I can imagine haunt my many a Christmases dreams. where you're just talking into that thing and saying shit to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, no.
And then I would walk the... I would walk the microphone over to the speaker on the TV while like Hulk Hogan was yelling at Macho Man about something and the tree would be going off doing a Hulk Hogan impression. It made me laugh every time. I would just sit there and laugh.
Did, for, like, did it three... rip its shirt?
No.
Oh. Did it do like the thing where it like waved and like cupped its ear?
I tried to make it do it. I won't do it.
Nerd.
Shitty tree.
Shitty tree, why don't you do wrestle stuff?
Do wrestling. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's a good talk about Christmas right now.
Yeah.
Get your little fix out of the way.
Christmas in we'll April.
Hold yep. you over.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because cranberries, yo.
Cranberries.
Goddamn Snapple. Let us talk about
seasonal. Christmas.
Yeah. Thanks, Snapple, for expanding our consciousnesses.
Because
there's like there's
three more than one conscious.
Yeah.
Yes.
Conchai.
Oh, sounds prickly.
Anyway.
Yep.
So what are we talking about this week, fellas?
So the first thing we're going to go over is Mike's idea of five people I'd grab a drink with.
Mm.
And when I say I, like it's actually going to be each of us have a list.
Of five people.
Of five people.
And we say grab a drink with, but it's just you would want to have a conversation with this person.
Sit
for
down,
whatever reason.
Living.
Living. This one's the living room. We're going to have a dead edition someday.
Halloween.
Yeah, and Halloween.
Yeah.
Like we're going
to
remember.
Top five ghosts you want to talk to. You think still be doing the podcast by Halloween?
We've been doing it for almost a year now.
Over a year.
Over a year now.
Has it been over a year?
Yeah, March was a year.
March was a year?
Okay. Officially over a year.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Ha-ha.
So, Cody, you go first.
Nope, Mike's going first.
Joe, you go first.
Mike's going first. We discussed this before we started recording.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Thanks for being a dick sounding about it. Anyway, my top five, because Mike's going first.
Like we discussed.
Number five, I have Tina Fey. This is for a couple different reasons.
Did you want a boner?
Possibly. That might have something to do with it.
Isn't she on your okay list?
She's on my list. I don't know if it's
like the okay list. If like you get to meet, if you get a chance, Jen said
my pass list.
Go for it.
Yeah,
I figured.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, Jen. Let's be honest. If the opportunity arises, I'm gonna do it.
That's what I'm saying. Don't worry, she doesn't actually listen. She just downloads.
Yeah,
I know for the fact.
I've told her that before though too. So no biggie. One because yeah, I'm in love with Tina Fey. She is hilarious. She wrote what the more time that passed, is what I think is my favorite TV show of all time in 30 Rock.
Seinfeld?
30 Rock.
Yeah.
I think that's gotta be my favorite TV show ever now.
What was the bit they did with Seinfeld where they're gonna put him in like digitally?
Since they own the rights to
Seinfeld Vision, right?
Yeah, they're gonna have Seinfeld Vision where he just popped up in the background to shit to boost the ratings on NBC.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, it made me laugh so much.
That's pretty funny.
So, and the reason she's on the list besides all those is mainly because she can speak to. She grew up doing improv. I think Second City and the Growlings, one of the two. I can't remember which one, but there's tons of stories to be heard and tons of people that are coming up around the same time she was coming up. Not only did she write on SNL, but she was also the head writer on SNL, the first woman head writer on SNL, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And a cast member. And then she did 30 Rock and she does movies. So she could be able to talk about SNL. She could talk about working on one of the best TV shows ever, And then she could also talk about improv coming up and who's all coming up with those people. So I think that'd be a good conversation. Number four on my list is Mr. Eddie Murphy. This, for the biggest reason, he bumped a couple really cool people off my list because he could speak to, like, one, he was a huge movie star at one point in time. Like, probably the biggest for a
His run on Beverly Hills Cop was, probably one of his top.
But he also has two of probably the top five stand-up specials of all time. And he was one of the best stand-up comedians ever. And so he could speak more, less towards the movie stuff that I would want to hear about, but I would love to hear about it because he never really does stories about this. I've never heard him talk about coming up, doing open mics, what his early material was, shit like that. I would love to just sit there and hear about that, who he was coming up with, who, you know, who he traveled with, things like that, which I know the Wayans brothers, the original Wayans, were the ones that helped him out a lot too.
The ones that everyone likes.
Yeah, or even the one that, like, nobody really talks about, too. What's,
Keen?
Keen, yeah.
Keen, I remember Wayans.
And Damon and all them. Excuse me. And, like I said, I've seen, like, Chris Rock has said this many times, anytime Eddie Murphy gets brought up. Chris Rock still maintains to this day that Eddie Murphy is still the funniest person he knows. Even right now. And it, I would give up so much money if I had it just to make him do another hour special of stand-up. Mm-hmm. I don't even care if it'd be good. I just want to see what it would be at this point, how it would.
I do really enjoy him, and I wish he did more stand-up comedy.
I wish he just
to get back out there.
Comedy. Movies would be cool, too. So, Eddie Murphy, number four. Number three, Clint Eastwood. Also for a couple reasons. He's the only director on my list, and he is a great director.
Tina Fey's a director.
Well, I wouldn't list... She's not known as... Clint Eastwood is more known now as a director than anything else. Tina Fey is still a performer, an actress, and a writer mainly. So I know she's directed, but I still wouldn't consider her mainly a director yet. So with Clint Eastwood being, you know, mainly a director now, that would be cool to talk about. And then again, at one point in time, he was probably the biggest movie star in the world for a while, for a good stretch. And his run, it longevity, dude, like nobody has had a career longevity like he has. Nobody. And you go all the way back to early Western movies. And if you want to just go back to the Dirty Harry movies, you can go all the way up to Gran Torino.
He's one of the few actors as well that over the years has become iconic. That his voice, his image is an icon for Westerns, for just general badassery. And not very many actors back then and now can say that.
And the other biggest factor I'd have Clint Eastwood on this list is he's kind of the last link to the old school movie star too. Mm-hmm. There's nobody, I can't think of anybody else that would be as interesting as Clint Eastwood to go back and be able to talk about who was big when he was coming up, who helped him, because he's old as fuck now. Like
He was around the time of John Wayne.
John Wayne gave Clint Eastwood the blessing, basically, when he went off and said he's going to be the next big star.
Yeah.
Which, back then... Something like that helps. If somebody says that now, it doesn't matter because there's too much sensory overload now. There's too much info coming at us at all times. Back then, somebody reads that, that's a John Wayne fan, they're going to the next Clint Eastwood movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's just a fact. So I would love to hear about old Hollywood, you know, more so than anything that he's really done. More like how it was back then, how weird it was that you signed like a 40 picture deal with a company,
you know what I mean?
And
weird,
then you
right?
just had to work with them for a long time. And then he's the best transition from actor to director, I think too. I mean,
what was his first directing movie? It was,
I think The Rookie, but I'm not
was
sure.
The Rookie?
But it goes back. I know he directed The Rookie. I think it was his first, but I'm not 100%.
I'll fact.
But a lot of the movies that he's directed or written and directed, I know I've the ones that I can remember, I've loved Gran Torino. I haven't seen Letters from Iwo Jima, but I've heard it's really good. What was the other Unforgiven? Mr. Gribber, yeah.
Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah.
And because now he mainly does, it seems like, passion projects now.
Right.
Which is how it's you stay fine. Good. You yeah. know, that's how it works out for you. He even did, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to at some point just because he directed it, but Jersey Boys?
Play Misty for Me was his first
Play Misty director for me. Movie. So, and he goes back, and when I didn't realize this until like a couple years ago, that I for some reason, I always thought that Unforgiven was one of his first director roles, but god damn it, he was directing movies way, way far back. Like,
really? 1971.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know that either.
That's probably why he's so goddamn good at it.
Because yeah, he's doing actually it got practice.
But he's probably like, because he can, whether he's the most popular actor or the most popular director, because he's had a stretch at both. I mean, that's pretty impressive too. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the main thing is like old school Hollywood. I would love to hear those stories. And number two and number one are kind of, what's up? Oh, look like you're about to say something.
No.
Number two, I put The Rock, mainly because I am a huge wrestling nerd.
And he's also on your pass list.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is weird. He's on both.
He's on Jen's too. nice.
Did you get what I said there?
Yeah.
Yours and his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fuck you.
So.
Sorry, go ahead.
So The Rock, not only is he actually turned out to be a pretty cool action movie star now, so you talk about that, but you also talk about wrestling. He was either the biggest wrestler or the second biggest wrestler in wrestling's most popular period, the Attitude Era. You know, that 97 to 2000 run where they were doing crazy fucking numbers, like TV ratings. They would get like a 6.4 on some nights, which that's nuts, dude. Nothing mm-hmm. does that anymore. Like, Super Bowls do better than that. That's about it. So yeah, and that was week to week, so that's pretty nuts. And they're performing 320 nights out of the year. So I mean, I would love to hear like what went into that, how taxing it was and all that shit.
Yeah.
And he seems funny.
He does. It seems like a genuine, cool guy.
And he's got to have, because he grew up in a wrestling family. His dad and his grandfather was also hugely popular wrestlers. So he can also speak to that previous generation of wrestling, too, which I think would be cool to hear about. And he was also a really good athlete. People don't realize this, but he was a national champion in college in the NCAA with the Miami Hurricanes. So he was a heck of a football player, too. So you could talk about a ton of different things. And then most people who know me well enough would kind of suspect this, but Michael Jordan would be number one. That's pretty self-explanatory. He's, in my opinion, the greatest athlete of all time. And, yeah, that's why. I mean, no one's getting six championships anymore.
Unless you put a bat in his hands.
Yeah, well, yeah. But how many?
That was later in his career, Joe. So he was spent by then.
I'm sorry.
Plus, he's way too tall to play.
Yeah,
play
no, baseball. Nobody 6'6" should be playing baseball. Like, Randy Johnson made it work. That was about it.
Yeah, but come on, he was pitcher.
Yeah, that's not really playing baseball. That's pitching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's
two. It's like saying a bowler is an athlete.
It's not really playing baseball.
Nope.
Yeah. same. But no, mainly because he's kind of known as the most intense, self-motivated athlete kind of there is. I've heard 1,000 stories about crazy shit that he went through, but not like I don't know to the extent of how many of them are true, how many old wives tales, shit like that. So that'd be cool to hear about that. And plus, he played on the greatest basketball team ever assembled with the 92 Dream Team.
Yeah.
Like, God, you got days of conversations with just talking about that. And he was in Space Jam.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah. The Toon Squad was not the greatest basketball team ever assembled. The 92 Dream Team was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. They'd be aliens, bro.
Bro. But aliens with powers of regular NBA players. So, I mean, he'd be an NBA All-Star team.
Fair enough.
He beat the 92 dream team, essentially, because weren't most of those guys that they stole the powers from on that team?
A lot of them were. Like, Sean Bradley certainly wasn't. That guy was garbage.
Like, is it?
But, like, Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing were, I think, they're the only two.
What was
Muggsy wasn't on the team.
That's right.
And Larry Johnson, I don't think, was in the league yet. I think Larry Johnson was still at UNLV at the time.
Huh.
Larry Johnson, if you don't know, was Grandmama. I don't know if you remember those commercials. You remember the Grandmama commercials?
Vaguely.
The old lady would come in out of the crowd and just dunk the shit out of on people in, like, street ball games.
Yeah,
I don't even remember what the commercial was for. But I know he was on Family Matters at one point. Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
I used to watch that show.
He was on there one time.
Huh.
Anyway, but that's my list. Boom.
Boom.
If one of those happens, I'll be extremely happy.
Boom. I would say get Clint Eastwood now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably... Yeah, he's moved to the top of the world. List because probably got the last time.
How old is he? He's like 80-something now, probably? It's like pushing it?
It's got to be, at least.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. Cody, anyway. You want to go with yours? I'll look it up.
No. Joe can go.
Hold on.
Joe can go. Joe can go.
So, last week when Mike first... 84?
So goddamn old.
That is old. When Mike first proposed this, I don't know why the first name that jumped in my head, and I said it last week, is Jeff Bridges. And I think it's mostly because he did an interview sometime last month on The Daily Show, and just listening to him talk, he was doing an interview about some book that him and his wife had done. But listening to him talk, he sounds just exactly like the dude. I mean, obviously he played him, but I mean, his character wise, he sounds exactly like the dude. So to just sit there and actually talk with him and listen to him talk would be awesome, but then to listen to him talk about, because he is one of the older actors in Hollywood, so listening to him talk about some of the projects that he's done in the past and some of the stuff that, is he doing anything now? I don't think so, actually, just besides the book.
Well, he just got done, but he did Seventh Son.
That's right, yeah.
Which was awful, so don't waste your time with that one unless it's, you know, on TV. Or like on Netflix when you already pay for it anyways. He has something else. Well, he's not going to be in Tron 3 because he's super dead in that. But, I mean, he could be.
He could still come back as Flynn. Not the computer Flynn.
He has three upcoming projects. One called The Little Prince.
That's the animated one. That's right.
One called The Emperor's Children. And one called Comancheria. I don't know. What's up? That's a
Comancheria. Yeah, Comancheria. Something like that.
That sounds fake. I think someone made that up.
It's also not on this list.
That one has Chris Pine, Ben Foster, Jeff Bridges all attached to it.
Hmm. Pretty big list. He was the first one that popped into my mind. The next one, obviously, everybody knows, at least, would be Elon Musk. For him, I think the biggest question I would have would be, like, what
time travel, bro?
Time travel, bro. He probably is. No, it would be because he has a weird vision of he's like probably the first entrepreneur, I would say, that has like a vision for like the human race in general, because he's really pushing for space travel and he wants to actually colonize Mars. You know, and he has like a deadline that he wants to do it by. So it's one of those weird things of like what his view of everything is, and why he feels that he should be the one that can do all this. Because like with the Tesla motors, he open sourced the design of the batteries, I believe it was, so that anybody who wants to use them can design them and use them for free. You know, and then he did the write up design for that train that's supposed to be going between San Diego and L.A. Again, open sourced it. Like anybody that wants to use this idea, go ahead and use it.
Yep.
You know, and he's even doing a contest, I think, in Texas. If you're a group of engineers that want to get together and test your own designs for this type of train. They're getting them together right now. So it's just really weird his thought processes on how open he is and his company versus how you see a lot of other companies that are just like lock this down. This is ours.
He's also working with a plan with Google, right? About
that's right, the satellites.
Satellites for free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Like truly free Wi-Fi, where like it'll beam Wi-Fi down from the skies.
Do you guys get the feeling that like he's doing so much crazy cool stuff that he's really a supervillain?
No, he's Tony Stark.
See, I would like to think of him more as Tony Stark.
I think of him more as Lex Luthor.
Or he's because he doesn't have... See, Lex Luthor makes you think that he's for everybody, but he has these big corporations that just suck in money. Elon Musk just fucking does all sorts of crazy shit for everybody.
It seems too
if anything, if you've seen Kingsman, the Secret Service, he's a lot like the bad guy from that, if you want to make him a villain. Because he'd be like, oh yeah, free Wi-Fi, but you have to get this chip they put in your phone, and all of a sudden, brainwash and murdering your friends. Just saying. Oh, by the way, I just spoiled Kingsman for you, so welcome.
Thank you, because I actually haven't seen
Cody it yet. Cody pulled a Cody.
Just realized that as soon as I said it. I was like, one of us here at this table has not seen it.
Good thing I've read the comic, so I'm sure it spoiled most of the movie.
Yep.
Anyway. so that's my thing for Elon Musk. After that, honestly, I was kind of scratching my head trying to figure out what to do with the rest of the top five list. So the next one I came up with.
Real quick, before we skip over Elon Musk, I have my hand up in the air.
Yes, Cody.
You didn't mention anything about SpaceX.
No, I mentioned the stuff that he wants to colonize Mars. He wants to be out there.
Like so, he designed a rocket and said, hey, NASA, or an engine, say, hey, NASA, you guys can have this.
He sells to the government, but he's able to do it at a fraction of the cost of what NASA would cost to actually do it.
Exactly. So go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, so the next one on my list, I started trying to think of like who would just be fun in general to talk to, and the first person that popped in my mind would be Ryan Reynolds. I recently started following him on Twitter. He's
probably one of the best Twitter followers.
Exactly. He says some of the most random shit, and yet it's absolutely funny. And especially with this new Deadpool movie coming up, a passion project really of his.
Yeah.
It'd be really awesome to talk to him. And you could just see like the conversation going nowhere, but like funny nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
Beyond that, the next person that I would like to talk to is Joshua Gates. And if anybody doesn't know him,
most people
probably don't know him. He used to do a sci-fi show that's in quote unquote hiatus right now called Destination Truth. He wrote a book that the name of it is escaping me right now. Which was actually a really good book that was about the in-between adventures. From the show, so like the travel and stuff to his different destinations and stuff, and the show that he currently does is called Expedition Unknown. One of the biggest reasons why I would want to talk to him is because he's one of those people who I would say is much like Anthony Bourdain, but he's not a food guy. He goes out and investigates ancient, civilizations and stuff like that, and that sounds more like the ancient alien type of stuff. But he's not batshit crazy, and he sounds like he'd be an honest to God good guy just to talk to. He is one of those people that I would say would be like Cody, where like he just talks to people and people love him, and he's just funny to be around and fun and awesome. Plus, I'm sure just reading from his book. Some of the stories that he has from there, where he explains a trip that he made with him and a friend down to Mexico. They were just gonna, it was just a spontaneous trip that ended up getting a hurricane coming in, so they had to drive out. They almost got their car stolen at one point in Mexico. They had to stay in like some really run down hostel type, hotel room. So it's just, funny stories just because he loves to travel and just loves to be out there and be with people. And the different cultures and stuff that he meets is pretty awesome. The final person on my list, once I thought of this, was actually, it's a no-brainer now, is Matt Groening.
So that's how you say it properly.
That is how you say it properly. If you don't know who Matt Groening is.
Go fuck yourselves.
No.
Oh.
That's not what you're doing.
Sorry.
He's the creator and writer of The Simpsons and then of Futurama. The biggest question that I would have for him is, does he ever see The Simpsons ending? And if so, how? Because at this point in time, The Simpsons TV show has been on for, since, what was it again, Cody? 89. The actual show, and then 87 is when they originally did it on the, what talk show was that?
The Tracy Ullman show.
So I would wonder if he'd ever seen the show starting from the Tracy Ullman show, getting picked up by its own show, and then from there to what it is now, if he actually envisioned that he could make this show go a long way.
A weird amount of staying power. Like, I understand no live action TV show could ever have that much staying power because all the characters would die. But even for an animated, for something to be on that long and still be, like, it's still good. It's weird. I kind of feel bad because it's not a show like I DVR or I watch on appointment.
It's not that show where you're like, it's Sunday at 9 o'clock.
Every time I see it, I still laugh. Like, I think it had some downtime, obviously, because every show is going to go through that. Either you have the wrong writers, your writers have just been on it too long, whatever the case may be. Every show is going to run into that. But it's been consistently funny for such a long time. And then it had its peak was really fucking high, dude. Like, it was huge for like a good like 5-6 year run.
Yeah.
Of just being one of the biggest things on TV. And remember, you used to see their merchandise everywhere, like even on commercials, like the Butterfinger commercials and all the stuff like that. And you'd see it. They would. I remember like ESPN even did like a crossover kind of thing. They had Simpsons stuff advertised on ESPN. It was weird. Like, it was all over the place.
Plus, it's one of the only franchises that actually has its own theme park. Like, within Universal Studios, it has its own. Right. They're actually expanding on it and making it bigger. But in the one in Florida, it actually has a huge section. Like, it's its own theme park within the theme park.
Yeah.
You know, when we were there, we forgot to grab the donuts when we were there.
We did. Yeah, they sell the iconic Simpsons donut at Universal Studios. But they're like a foot and a half wide.
I always thought that when I heard about the movie being made a few years ago, I was like, all right, this is it.
Yeah.
This is where they're capping it off. But I think it kind of rejuvenated the show.
They put it back out in the...
But the movie is really fucking good, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, God super damn. Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And super bizarre.
Yeah, I think they should do... I wouldn't mind a world where they stop the show and then make a movie every few years.
The problem... Well, I mean, it's not the problem, but the weird thing, though, is like, you kind of like, when you think, oh, it's going to go to the theaters, it's going to look different. It did because it had a faster motion rate to it, obviously. But it looked, the animation was pretty much on par with what it is on TV.
That's what I was hoping. I didn't want it to look different.
Because originally they were going to do like CG. I mean, they did a lot of CG, like computer stuff in it, obviously. But like
more like a Toy Story.
Yeah, like they were going to do more like the 3D animated type stuff. But I remember watching, like, because I never saw it in theaters. I wasn't a big Simpsons fan at that point because I had kind of burnt down on it because I mean, it ran for fucking 15 years before.
And for people in our age group, it longer than that. But for people our age group, we've been watching it our whole life.
What I mean by like 15 years by the time like I was watching it consistently. You know,
well, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so people, like I said, in our age group, grew up with The Simpsons. The Simpsons have basically always been there.
Yeah.
More or less, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of, and you even mention it, you almost take it for granted at one point because you just kind of expect it to always be there. But
so the moment that it leaves, it's going to leave
this. It's
going
to be weird.
Like, it's going to be weird and leave this kind of vacuum that
Fox will go under. Universal Studios will crumble. Oh, actually, no, they have Harry Potter.
Dogs and cats will be living together.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
that would be, and then just like, because there had to have been like 30 fucking times in the first season where they thought they were gonna get canceled. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
because every show goes through that kind of stuff, and I would like to know what he thinks his wildest expectations was of the show.
Yeah,
like because every time you go into something, you always have worst case and best case scenario go through your head. And I'm willing to bet like six seasons. If I can get six seasons out of it. Yeah, six seasons in a movie. But like back then, like 6 to 12 seasons, like that's the long, or 6 to 8 seasons, probably like the longest stuff.
Well, for an animated show though, that's way beyond
what people think. Oh yeah, for an animated show. That's what I'm saying. Like that must have been a fucking ridiculous out of this galaxy expectation at that time.
Yeah, he must have been like some, like, if we go as far as 6 seasons, that'll be it.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, 21 more after that year, you know, that sort of thing.
And still maintain, I know it kind of took the Simpsons or the Family Guy help, but that crossover episode that finally happened was phenomenal.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, the Simpsons half of it.
Yeah. Was fantastic. Yeah. And I think that kind of even rejuvenated the show a little bit. So I think they just have to keep doing stuff just to remind people, like, hey, we're still here.
We're still funny.
You know? And here's the other thing, too, is, like, this next generation of people, of kids that are just about hitting that age where The Simpsons is for them for the first time, they're not watching TV. They're not going to a certain channel and watching at a certain time. They're watching shit like Netflix and stuff like that. So it's a little bit weird. I don't know how. I think with the FX app, the fact that they're there helps it a little bit, but
kind of isolates it as well.
Yeah, I don't really know if kids are gonna find it now. Like, I don't
not just it, not just that though. If you go back and watch the first like 5 seasons or so,
it's rough.
It's not only is it rough, the animation's rough because I mean it's. They had no budget.
Animation in fucking early 90s.
You also have to think it's super dated for what the pop culture was in it.
It's always dealing with current deals.
Yeah, because they were where South Park got their spike of politicalness from, you know? Like they don't produce the show as fast as South Park does. And they don't produce an episode in 6 days. But they were always on top of current events, but those current events dated. So it'd be weird to see like kids' reactions to those early ones because of how
trying to understand like who are they talking about? Yeah, like what actress or actor are they mentioning right
like
there?
There's no mention of internet stuff in it for like the longest fucking time.
Yeah, and then all the guest stars. Yeah, you're right. Like, kids wouldn't know
who the Rolling Stones are.
Yeah, who the Rolling Stones are.
Very few of them.
Are.
Yeah.
Who
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
You know
like when they hear
Sideshow Bob. Yeah, get excited when Sideshow Bob on. Oh, because it's Frasier. You know what I mean?
Like, who the fuck's Frasier?
Yeah, exactly.
He's from Cheers. What's Cheers? You're like, oh, fuck you. I'm going to strangle the life out of you. I'm going to hit you so hard your parents get a bruise.
But then it's weird to think, too, that this, The Simpsons spawned The Simpsons Tap Out.
And
it's
Matt Groening goes on to create the greatest cartoon of all time.
Yeah.
Which is?
Futurama.
Yeah. Which then I would ask him about Futurama and his expectations for that show, especially since he had so much of his success with The Simpsons and how long he expected that to go on. And then I don't want...
How many times you thought Futurama was going to get canceled?
Exactly. How many times it did get canceled and then suddenly come back. But I'd also ask him about like some of the more sad episodes, like the more heart pulling episodes that from Futurama, the Fry's dog Seymour. I mean,
I'm done.
That is insanely fucking sad episode with no like funny kicker at the end.
No, it wasn't. It was just
a sad shitty episode.
Fades the Gray. Oh, I hate you so much, Matt Groening. What I was gonna say though is, you would have think like Fox executives are like, do you want to do anything else? And he like pitches this Futurama, right? Which I can't remember the original name they had for it because it was something different. But like on paper, that thing would like must have looked at them like, this is what's going to replace The Simpsons. And then it finally came out and it's so like, because The Simpsons is very broad in its audience. Futurama is not.
No.
Futurama is very, very
sci-fi.
Like driven,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's in the future, so of course. It's
and we all know how much Fox loves sci-fi shows,
yeah, don't we, Mike?
Yeah,
Almost Human, Firefly.
It's hey guys, you know it's gonna be great for a story we're gonna tell, and you know, 13 to 22 episodes, playing them out of order.
Yeah,
see, because what I'll do is
let's
like,
move. Nah, I don't want to talk about it. Let's move past that.
He's gonna hit.
He's got no, but that I bet he has a ton. And look at all the people he got to be on the show too.
Yeah, from like from, almost the beginning too.
Yeah, like it was. The Simpsons has always been such a big pop culture thing that it still gets huge stars today. So and it's always huge stars. So it always has huge stars on the show. But yeah, that'd be a fun conversation.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's your list.
That's my list.
Motherfucker. I didn't make a list.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. So my first one is, so this guy is a director and a producer of some of the biggest franchises of all time in movies.
I mean, they've done okay.
As well as TV shows.
I mean, they've done okay.
Yeah. So a lot of you, I know what you're thinking out there. Oh, James George Lucas Cameron. Is going to be on Cody's list. He's not on Cody's list. Other reason why, because the guy who basically made him all his money is Steven Spielberg. So Steven Spielberg is my number five on my list. The stories that motherfucker must have about everything. Because he had his hands in everything.
Yeah.
For the, like, I mean, still to this day, he has, I mean, everything from, like, the Halo TV show to, I mean, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, E.T.
He was basically, like, our childhood, to say the least of it.
Those two motherfuckers are so synonymous. But the thing is, like, George Lucas did so little compared to Steven Spielberg, it's kind of fucking ridiculous.
But, I mean, that's not even to mention that Steven Spielberg presents the Animaniacs, presents, what was the other ones?
I mean, the fucking list is retarded.
Yeah, it's retarded, yeah.
Just his, the movies he directed, let alone produced, is staggering. And before I forget, I'm actually kind of surprised on your list, Mike, Lorne Michaels didn't show up. I know Tina Fey was there.
Yeah, I was going.
But can you imagine the stuff he could share with you, though?
Yeah.
About his every incident on SNL. By the way, yeah.
All the cast members that have came and left and then like wanted to be on the show, you know, like, oh, dude, ridiculous.
If you do want to hear about Lorne Michaels, some Lorne Michaels story, a little bit of his story. Alec Baldwin has a pretty good podcast, but also very inconsistent podcast, and called Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin. His guest list is pretty fantastic because it's just all the people he knows. And he actually does really good. And there's a Lorne Michaels episode of it that runs about an hour and a half. And it's amazing. And then you really realize from that story how much Lorne Michaels, I don't think to an American fan of comedy under the age of 45, I don't think there's any one single person that has his hands more in what you're a fan of if you're a fan of comedy.
Yeah.
Like, he is responsible for finding and showcasing everybody that you think of in one way or the other. He had his handprints on it somehow. So that story is ridiculous. He would be a really good conversation.
Yeah.
I digress. I thought of that earlier and I didn't want to interrupt. I thought of it when he was talking, Joe, and I didn't want to interrupt him because he was in the middle of, like,
actually talking.
Yeah, yeah, like actually talking. So I was like, don't stutter him now because he's just going to fall back into the Joe hole and just be like, well.
Pretty much.
That sounds gross, actually, the Joe hole. It's really long, though. So if you're like, you're our height, Mike, we're done. We're not climbing that thing. Joe be like, I'm out. My hole. That's why it's called Joe Hole. Anyways, so Steven Spielberg would be fucking insane to talk to. Like, just let alone, like, just like you'd have hours alone on Indiana Jones. Like the shit that must have happened on E.T. The stories he's
Jaws.
Got. Yeah, exact from Jaws.
I once watched a 2.5-hour documentary on Jaws.
On the shark from Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it was fucking fascinating.
Yeah, it's the, like, I mean, obviously, like, his own production company for, like, ever, his own movie studio forever. I mean, everything. Kind of, it's ridiculous.
And
to think
don't
about.
If you're one of those people who go like, oh yeah, but it hasn't made anything good lately. Like, if you say that about anybody,
you're a fucking lot. First off, you don't know what you're talking
about. Everyone has misses. Even if you're the greatest, you have misses. And to look back at how innovative and ridiculous his shit really is, like, really think about it. So important to cinema. It just, like, you know, I mean, people just kind of piggyback their style and made themselves a nice career off of it.
Matter of fact, a protege of his is on my list as well. So don't spoil it.
Is it the Spanish yet. Steven Spielberg?
It is not.
Oh.
It is not Robert Rodriguez. No, it's a true protege, not someone who looked up to him. Like, oh, okay. Someone who worked for him and then eventually got to work from him. So Steven Spielberg would just mind blowing the stuff that you could probably soak up from him. It would be ridiculous. Number four on my list is a gentleman named Fat Mike. I'm not talking about Mike Cross for me. He is the bass player.
He talks to me all the time. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's not that great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really that great. Really. Anyways, his name's Mike Burkett. He's the... people often think the frontman of a band called NOFX, but he's actually just the bass player, NOFX. He does sing in that band, but it really, they're all kind of around there. But anyways, he is obviously one of... like, he's been in a punk band for a long time. NOFX has been around for a long, long time. They're amazing. But he has his own record company. He helped produce a wee little concert tour called Warped Tour with a good friend of his. So I mean that's pretty huge itself. But he kind of has all sorts of craziness. But he's probably the most low key dude ever, and he's an awesome family man. He's super political. If you ever listen to their music and all the stuff he does. But he's an all-around nice guy. The stories that he'd have about all the people he knows, because he knows everybody from Green Day to Blink-182 to Rancid to everything past Blink-182. Like, anybody really that came around was, like, around Fat Mike. It's ridiculous. So I would love to sit down and talk with him. I probably couldn't get a drink with him because he would kill me with the amount of liquor he would put into his body that I would have to try to match. So Ice-T would be on the list for that one. So he's number four. Number three on my list is Warren Ellis. He is a writer of the comic books as well as novels, novellas really, as well as a bunch of other crazy stuff that people don't really know him for. He is an interesting dude. He's English. He's from Essex. But he's very out, like, not like Grant Morrison. Like Mike said, he would like to talk to someone like Grant Morrison, which would be fantastic, except for, like, you'd have to be, like, on some kind of drugs to understand what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's a wild, like, weird dude.
Warren Ellis, his mind is beyond fascinating, but his, like, the way he, like, the way he writes things, his novellas, really, because you get more of the words than in the comic books where you're kind of reading, you're kind of looking at the pictures that are coming that he doesn't draw. But the way he talks about stuff, the way his mind works is so ridiculous to me. Like, this, like, there's a he's written a bunch of stuff for every company, really. But his novellas are so different than others things. Like the Gun Machine, if you ever get a chance to read anything by him, read Gun Machine. Can't really go over what the plot is because it's super bizarre, but it's fantastic if you ever get a chance to read it. So I'd love to sit down with him and be like, bro, how does your brain not make you a sociopath? Like,
Probably does.
Yeah, well, maybe.
The writing helps.
Yeah. Gets all the demons
make
out.
Make him a sociopath?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to talk to him. It'd be amazing. And the number two on my list is the protege of Steven Spielberg I was talking about earlier. Anyone have any guesses?
J.J. Abrams.
I told you earlier, Mike, that's not really a guess.
Well.
It's J.J. Abrams.
I think I would have guessed that, though. Yeah.
So I would love to sit down with him for many reasons.
So but many the biggest players. Reason... is you could tell us all this new Star Wars stuff.
No, not even that.
No, fuck you. I want to know all that stuff.
No. I want to know how the fuck him and Damon Lindelof came up with Lost.
Yeah.
How does that, like, how the fuck does that come into your mind? Like, I know, I realize, like, they had a begin point and an end point. All the shit a lot of the shit in the middle came about because they needed to expand on it. But man, that shit was ridiculous, bro. But like things like Fringe was super awesome, if you remember that, with the kid from the Mighty Ducks.
Emilio Estevez?
Yeah, that's the one.
Emilio!
The kid.
Yeah.
Look at Emilio Estevez now and tell me he wasn't a kid when Mighty Ducks came out.
He wasn't.
He wasn't.
Because Joshua Jackson was a kid.
Oh, yeah. So, Cody, speaking of J.J. Abrams, have you gotten around to reading S?
No.
I have read most of it. I'm still 50 pages away from ending it. And it's a very fun read. Him and Doug Dorst was the co-writer of it.
Yeah.
I'd definitely suggest it because it's weird to think of when you think of J.J. Abrams, setting aside the Star Trek movies, you think of something like Lost, and you have like mysteries and like really heady stuff and stuff that's super interesting. And if you're into reading, I would get into S because of just the book itself is good, but then the book that the book is based on is really awesome because there's so many mysteries and hidden codes and shit in it.
Another thing about J.J. Abrams is one of the movies that a lot of people talk because since Star Trek, he kind of got really big with the movie stuff. And he did like Super 8 and Star Trek. Obviously, he's doing the new Star Wars. But God damn it, he did such a good job with Mission Impossible 3 and saved that franchise. Because if Mission Impossible 3 was anywhere close to being as bad as the second one was, it was, and the second one was bad. And if that one wasn't really, really good, and it didn't do great box office wise, because I think everyone remembered part two.
Yeah.
But it was a really, really good movie. And I think people kind of like, after a while, found it and were like, oh, this is actually really good. Especially once J.J. Abrams got big and a lot of people don't realize, oh, the guy who did the new Star Trek movies did Mission Impossible 3. Let's go back and watch it. Huh. It's a really good fucking job he did with it. Huh.
So, little known fact that not people know about J.J. Abrams, he wrote a lot of stuff before he started directing stuff. He started writing in 1990. But he had a wee bit of a movie called Armageddon that he wrote. I don't know if you guys know that movie or not. It's got,
I love that movie.
It's got John McClane in it.
It's one of my favorite, what's the director's name?
Michael Bay.
Yeah, one of my favorite Michael Bay movies.
Yep. He wrote Gone Fishing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Gone Fishing.
Yeah.
It was kind of not a great movie, but it was pretty funny.
He wrote Forever Young with Mel Gibson's.
Oh, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. Yep. He wrote Regarding Henry.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit, boss, dude.
Yeah. And then obviously...
This kid's got a future.
He's got a bright future. And then like obviously his directorial debut was Mission Impossible 3, which is crazy to think about. Like
That and... Dude, there's so many crazy... Like if you go back and watch that movie with the mindset of let's look at all the unique shit that he did with this movie, just his from
first directing ever.
That was a goddamn home run, dude. Yeah. Like if he makes that movie now, it's one of the biggest movies ever. Of that year. Like I guarantee it because he's got more of the name value now and people will get more amped about it.
Mm.
Oh. Or if that was part two.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It would have been fucking huge.
Yeah. But then you got to look at like what he did. So there was a 3-year gap between Mission Impossible 3 and the first Star Trek movie. And in between that, he had a little thing called
Lost. Only 3 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. 2006, 2009.
Holy shit, dude. I thought it was longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. First Star Trek, the reboot Star Trek movie came out as of right now, a while ago. Like, movie and franchise franchise thinking, like if you look at like a franchise movie, it has been a long time since the first one came out, because the first one was in 2009 and then Into the Darkness came out in 2013, so there's 4 years between those two movies.
It'll be 2016,
but he's only producing the new one. Yeah. Dun dun. And obviously, Star Wars coming out this year looks ridiculous.
Kind of has his hands full with the biggest movie ever.
Yeah, I mean, and then the fact that like he's still producing Mission Impossible movies. So he produced the one with the last one that was made.
Which is really good, Ghost Protocol.
Yep, and he's producing the new one, Rogue Nation. So
yeah, whatever it's called.
Remember. But then he produced Cloverfield, which a lot of people didn't like, but was like super original for what it was. Like it was a modern day Godzilla before obviously the new Godzilla came out. But it was like a super weird take on it because it was like one of the very first found footage movies that kind of made a genre that didn't need to happen. You know, it was like a thing. It was cool for this movie, but we don't need to see a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Some people have done it well. too many people have tried to do it.
It's like doing shots. It's fun every now and then, but you don't want to do
you
it.
You can't have a whole night of it. You will die. But like just like that, and those are just his movies and like TV shows. He was a writer on Felicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Like, that's ridiculous. He did Felicity. He created, he was co-creator of Felicity too, which is really bizarre to think about. But he was the creator of Alias. Mm. With, so like that's pretty nuts. Obviously, co-creator of Lost. And then he's just done a shit ton of stuff. He guest directed the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Just for shits and
giggles. Yeah, I was like, why is that? Why?
Whatever. Lens flare.
Yeah.
Lens flare.
That would be amazing.
he's just adding weird shit.
He obviously executive produced and composed some of the stuff for Almost Human.
Yeah.
He did just crazy stuff that he's done. Like, but the stories he must have for just like relatively short time and so much that he's done in that short time. You know what I mean?
Like, how he got certain shit off the ground and what he hasn't gotten off the ground yet. Like, because he has to have something in his back pocket that he's been trying to get made but can't. Because everybody does. I'm like, I want to know what that is.
But he's the one that brought, like, if it wasn't, I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't be where they are, but Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orsi, who are another set of powerhouses that, like, they wrote, helped him write the Star Trek movies. They wrote the Transformers movies. They're all over TV shows as well. Fringe is one of them. They have the new Person of Interest with that's on TV. It's super good. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, he helped them kind of build their careers, which is nuts. So, plus, I mean, they do a lot of stuff. Those are just like some of the things they do. But this isn't about them. It's about J.J. Abrams.
Yeah,
being my number two
on my list. Number one.
Number one, George R.R. Martin, because that dude's brain. Is a goddamn national treasure.
That too.
Yeah. I don't know, national treasure or an oddity of science.
No, dude. The,
like,
the,
there's
it's the next Nicolas Cage movie.
If you don't know who George R. R. Martin is, welcome to getting out of your rock.
Don't say that because
no, you have to say that
because you may have not watched his TV show.
You may have not read his books,
but you know somebody has.
Oh yeah.
Of Game of Thrones.
But you might not know that George R. R. Martin is that guy behind
it. No, because you knew somebody who's either watched the show or read the books or done both.
Oh, yeah, because if you watched the show or read the book, you've told everybody about it.
Exactly.
Especially if you read the book. You've told every fucking buddy that you read that book.
Exactly. And so you throw names in there.
Everybody.
Me and my friend George R. R. Martin.
Exactly.
We're just talking. Yeah, there's a lot of Georges out there.
This one ends with an RR and a Martin.
Yep.
Or GRRM, as I like to call him.
I like to call him George, but that's just me. I don't know. But he's written a fuck ton of things. So it's not just a Song of Ice and Fire books, which if
are the Game of Thrones books, in case you're
wondering what those are.
Yeah. If you don't know, the TV show on HBO, a Game of Thrones, is based on a book series written by George R. R. Martin called A Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, even if you do know what Game of Thrones is, you probably just think it's the Game of Thrones
book. That's why I'm explaining that. Yeah.
Don't do it cunty and condescending.
I'm just saying, that's what it is.
Just because you think it's the greatest thing ever doesn't mean everybody's fucking on board with it.
Not the greatest thing ever, but it's one of the greatest.
The second greatest thing. Sliced Bread was pretty better. Sliced
Bread was amazing.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it was pretty good.
You're like individually wrapped cheese. The best.
Story from last night.
Yeah, story from last night. That's immediately what I thought
of. Another day. He's written a lot of things. But anybody who is any type of writer, if you could get the amount of success he has off of essentially just one book series.
You did it. Yeah.
This motherfucker has created something in this book series / TV show that'll live on forever, but also like just the amount of writing he had to do for those books that he's not even done with yet would be someone's entire career because they're ridiculously long and super packed. But no, those are only recently. This dude's got like three other still ongoing series of books that he writes. that like one of them is on like on book 15.
He still writes the other books? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Maybe I'll go and read some of those books next.
We couldn't find Ram Cop, which we saw at Half Price Books.
Yeah, we went to Half Price Books, and I saw a book just sitting there with this like detective looking dude in a precinct, like how you picture like Hill Street Blues, like that kind of police area. And he's just sitting there and he looks all stressed out. Normal looking guy, except he has ram horns. And I didn't think to like read the title or anything. I just saw that George R. R. Martin was on it. I'm like, oh, it's the Game of Thrones guy. And he wrote a book that I am now dubbing Ram Cop forever. And I should have fucking got it, because ever since we left, I keep thinking, what the fuck is that book about? Any book that has this Ram Cop on the cover, I kind of want to read it. Like,
that's a good question, because I've seen some of his earlier books.
Well, it's part of what's the series that it's part of? We found out later.
But where is it? Tales of Duncan Egg.
Okay. Well, that's the name of the book.
No, it's the name of the book series.
Oh, that's the name. Okay.
Because I didn't know did anything like that. I knew there, or at least what I would envision that to be. Because I know he's done other things in the realm of Game of Thrones, the medieval type of fantasy stuff. So I really thought that was his bread and butter, but I guess not.
No, he's been writing books since 1976.
And when did the first Game of Thrones come out? Like 90?
It was 96. When he came out with that when he was teaching at a college. He was writing at the same time. Here's a little fun fact, though. He wrote a TV show called Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Wow, he wrote on Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, he was one of the head writers.
Wow. I used to watch that show.
That's that Ron Perlman joint, yo.
Yeah.
Wrote some Twilight Zone.
Used to watch that, too.
The OG Twilight Zone. Wrote The Outer Limits, because who didn't at that point?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Game of Thrones. He's actually written some of the episodes too.
How's he been responsive to the show?
He loves the show.
Okay.
So George R. R. Martin, unlike a lot of authors, he has a very weird relationship with his fans. He fucking loves them.
Yeah.
Like he's not one of those, like, he will take pictures with them. He like writes them letters back and stuff. Like, he's kind of a fucking nutball in that way, in that sense. But, like, it's super funny to think of, because, like, for the longest time, I mean, I don't know if he still writes back too many letters nowadays, because he probably gets because, if you know it's not, Game of Thrones is slightly popular. Like, it's a pretty popular series. But, like, he has this weird, like, he recognizes fans at shows.
Oh, like the repeat customer guys?
Yeah. Like, that's cool. He's like, oh, so-and-so. Like, I'm like, that's fucking nuts, man. Like, you shouldn't be able to name these people. You know what I mean?
Well, I've never watched Game of Thrones until recently. I've watched the first season over the last week and a half or so, and I just finished it a couple days ago. And I'm not reading. I'm listening to the first book. And I'm about 8 hours or so into it, which is to say I'm a quarter of a way fucking through it.
Yeah.
He has to have a crazy fucking brain, because there's 1.6 million characters in the book so far. Like,
and that's 1.7. Just the first.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It was a ridiculous amount of characters, to the point where, like, it gets confusing while I'm sitting there listening to it.
It does.
And I'm like, and when I watch it, it's funny. When I was listening to it and watching it, it was kind of like filling in gaps for me. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. But yeah, dude, it's like hard to fucking keep track of, because I've never read something that has this many characters and that much character detail to it. Detail is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And wait until you get into the later books where you literally get whole chapters on characters that don't even show up again.
Bother. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's why I asked you, is how he responds to the show. Because the one thing I noticed, I'm not even done with the first book yet, but I'm done with the first season. I've listened to enough of the book to kind of know where it's going. The first season left out so many things from the book, and it wasn't just like not important to the story things, like vital stuff to the story and vital characters too. that just either got completely left out of the show or just glossed over like it wasn't important, that were hugely important when you're listening or reading the book.
Yeah.
And it's nuts. I didn't know if he'd be like be shitty about it, or if he realizes like a TV show is a different medium than a book, so you have to kind of do that.
Joe and I talk about this all the time because we are both listening to the audiobooks and obviously have watched the show. So much so that the reason Mike is now watching the show and listening to the audiobooks is because we want to start doing episodes of this show about it. Because
I got peer pressured into it.
Yes. Peer pressure. Plus, I pulled three of his toenails out, so he has to do it. Otherwise, he's never going to walk again.
Still have bamboo shoots in my fingernails.
Yep. I didn't pull those off because he's got to go in public. Anyways, so we want to start doing...
Don't look like a freak.
Yeah. We want at least to go do one episode a month about Game of Thrones and about the craziness that happens on the show as well as in the books. But the other thing, too, is to talk about Mike's part, the stuff they gloss over. Not only do they gloss over stuff, they just willy-nilly combine characters into one for the show.
Yeah.
Just so they can, skip over some plot stuff but still get to plot points and other things. Like, ridiculousness that goes on.
Whoever writes the show has to be a huge fan of the books to be able to know, okay, this and this and this will work. Yeah. We can get rid of that.
Yeah.
But God damn it, Just I was, one of the first things I noticed is in the show when Bran wakes up, he's just kind of up in one episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole fucking chapter in the book is the dream he has.
Three, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, but like just one section of the book is just about the dream he has and him waking up and the people are excited that he's up. And then him learning that he's all fucked up and he's not going to be able to. And I'm like, that was some, like, to so far where I'm at, that was the most intriguing part of the book so far.
And for Bran, from that point on, it becomes his pivotal point in the book and his pivotal role that takes him off onto his storyline, the dreams that he's having, the visions, and other couple of other characters that you'll meet later on.
And like I said, in the show, he's just up in one. He's like forgotten about in one episode. He's not even mentioned. And in the next episode, he's up talking to people.
Yep.
And I'm like, that drove me fucking crazy because that could be, I don't know if they didn't trust the kid to pull off the acting in it or not, but
I don't think they had the budget or something for that type of stuff.
But I thought that was huge. And then there's other things that so far in the book has been a big fucking deal that in the first season, not even mentioned.
You have no idea, bro.
Yeah.
The last two chapters of book one completely glossed over in the show. Completely. Like there's a whole section of Westeros they go to. We'll go over this more when we actually do the show, but there's a whole section of Westeros that is barely mentioned in the show.
That has all the time to in do the books.
Has so much that happens at it in the fucking books. It's ridiculous, and it's called River Run. So much happens in the River Lands and the in River Run Castle that are just like, yeah, it's cool, bro. These people are kind of important.
Yeah.
But, like, so much happens in there. It's, like, I think they've, in the show, have they even been to River Run yet in the show?
Not that I can think of. Like, actually been there? No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
That's so fucking ridiculous.
Or no, they did. They were. Correction. Because I remember Catelyn was there.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure she was.
Whatever. We'll go back.
Because it was during that time where Rob came back with the chick.
No, that was at River Run. That was still on the battlefield, because that's when she ended up. And because she met Brianna Tarth.
At River Run.
No, that was at Bitterbridge where Renly was at.
Was that
because they skipped over all of that? And then they came back after Renly was killed. Spoiler. Came back to meet Rob, and that's when she ended up freeing Jaime. Another spoiler. Because he's captured at the Whispering Winds. It doesn't matter.
I don't know any of that.
They completely skip over River Run, and it's fucking huge in the goddamn book.
And the other thing that I've noticed, and I've been aware of the show mainly because I've been on social media for the last few years. And if you're on Twitter at all and you don't get Game of Thrones spoilers during the shows, then you're not doing Twitter right. Because everyone talks about it.
Then you're only following three people that also don't watch it.
But So I know characters get killed off. I hear about it every week. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But what I didn't realize is how little he gives a fuck about the characters that he kills off.
Yeah.
Because Stark and how do you say his name? Drago?
Yeah.
Are killed off in the most bitch ways to get killed. Like, just the shittiest, worthless fucking deaths that you could have. And they were like... built up as like, well, Ned Stark is obviously like the one dude that's trying to do everything right. Drago is supposed to be this great warrior, and you get one, you know, and just killed off in the shittiest fucking way. It's like,
yeah.
Have you got to his death in the book yet?
No.
All right, it's a lot different in the book.
Oh, is it better?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's not like a show. In the show, you get a cool fight scene.
It's like, oh, this giant flap of skin across his chest.
In the book, yeah. In the book, he gets sliced and his boobie hangs off.
So
they try to pack it back in and like that.
Yeah, because in the show, it's just one little cut that gets infected and he dies.
So it's in like, the same-ish area, except for that little one cut in the show.
But was Stark's the same?
Stark's was the same. Yes. Yeah.
Shitty. Fucking shitty way. You're building him up as this... this ultimate one good heroic good guy, like legit all good guy in this book, and you just kill him like that.
But that's what happens to pretty much all of his characters that are like that. Because you can even say that Rob was like the successor to Ned Stark then. Obviously, it was his kid, but he was trying to, you know, end the cruel rule of the Lannisters, and he ends up getting killed.
In a bitch way, too?
No.
Not in a bitch way. Okay. Because that's what they called the Red Wedding.
Oh, okay.
But still, he ends up being killed. And so the characters that you end up...
But at least like, if you get a heroic, cool death, like, you know what I mean? But Ned Stark's was like, oh, that's so unsatisfying.
But with Stark's, though, again, we're going into this more than we should right now. But anyways, in his death, though, his death... has so much subcontext to it, but also he was betrayed, obviously, but like there's so much because of his death causes certain things to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like, yes, he did get like killed very easily. I mean, obviously, because he had like, he was given the chance if he said yes, he did the treason, he'd be able to take the black.
Yeah.
And just if letting him live and go to the wall would have changed so many things that happened in this fucking story. It's ridiculous.
But no, that's why, like, because, like, that's a unique mindset, I think, for a writer to just be able to do it so easily and nonchalantly. Because a lot of writers, especially in big stories, you kind of feel like they got attached to the characters.
I don't feel like this dude
gets attached to anything.
He's got a corkboard with a bunch of their names on it. He throws a dart at him. Oh, she's dead.
Oh, she's dying dead. This one.
Yeah.
But there was a funny joke.
Interesting.
That was asked. That why isn't George R. R. Martin on Twitter? The real reason is because he doesn't own a computer, or a smartphone, which is really funny to me. But the joke was because 140 characters is enough because he kills that many in one chapter.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because really, it's a limited. And that's it. So, yeah, bringing it back to it, George R. R. Martin would be amazing to sit down with and talk to because that dude has a fucking mind. And it's ridiculous.
Seems like he'd be a weirdo, though.
He's actually, well, did you ever hear him on The Nerdist?
No.
He's a really nice guy, like really down, and he's really funny. But, dude,
what's he sound like? Where is he from?
He's American.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was.
But to his point, I mean, like, where's he from? Like, I don't even know that.
Because I've seen pictures of him and he's.
I would wonder if he has an accent or something. That's all.
No.
No, it's just.
I imagine either British or.
No, I wouldn't even. Like, I knew he was American.
I didn't know.
So I'd be.
He's from New Jersey.
Oh, that's odd. I had Jersey in my mind when I thought of that, too.
That's. You should never have Jersey on your mind.
But it was weird that I did.
Does it sting?
It does, actually.
When you pee?
Oh, it's like razor blades.
But yeah, so, okay. We went kind of over.
Fuck them, it's free.
So yeah, that's
it.
That's our top 15 for the show.
So yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really have assignments, so we'll think of something else.
No assignments, but a couple things that I really want to go through over next week. Star Wars trailer.
Oh, we'll go over all the trailers that came out.
All the trailers, but mainly the Star Wars trailer, because what the fuck? And then also we'll get to Daredevil.
Eventually. Week. There's a lot of movie trailers we'll to talk next about week. Next week, so we'll try to...
We'll get in on it.
Because there's...
Because season two.
Because as of next week's recording, I will have seen Ex Machina, and I want to talk to people about that movie.
Yeah. So, all right.
That's it. That's it for this episode, guys, of Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, everybody, go fuck yourselves.
Nah.
Yes.
Always so mean and shitty to our people.
Fuck them.